Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Is your heart blessed by that?
I don't know about you, but I'm ready to buy the CD. Where do we get the CD at? Sammy, you just let us know. We'll purchase some of them. Take your Bibles tonight and go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 this evening. And if you found your place and if you're willing and able, would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word? Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we started last night verse number 4 and verse number 5. And we will, for the bulk of our time together this week, spend time right here in chapter 6, going all the way down to the end of the chapter. So you can make plan and read and study ahead so we can know where we are at. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's start verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt, man, you, individually, personally, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the post of thine house and on thy gates. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Use it in our lives, this we ask. And in your Son's name we pray, and all the church said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We started last night with this kind of singular idea that we must cultivate in our heart a love for God. We must cultivate in our heart a love for God. This is where it begins. We all have a desire to see the God's love and God's word permeate in our families, but it will not resonate in our families if it has not resided in our hearts. So that individual importance of taking it personal, making it personal, man, cultivating in your heart, mom. Cultivating in your heart, dad. Cultivating in your heart, aunt, uncle, brother, sister. Cultivating in your heart, son, daughter, grandparent, whatever it is. Cultivating in your heart a love for God. I mean, notice he reiterates this in verse number 6. And it shall be, and I command thee this day, and shall be in thine heart. And see, this is where one of the big disconnects between what we're teaching our children and what our children are seeing modeled in us. Are they seeing modeled in us a love for God, a heart for God, energy, mind, strength, man, zeal, our focus, our determination, our passion, all being moved in the direction of God? Are they seeing that modeled in our own individual lives, or is it just being messaged in our home? See, if it's just being messaged in our home, well, that's the disconnect, right? That's where the breakdown happens. It must first be cultivated in your heart. Man, we said three things last night. The subject matter, we want to teach our children about God. Man, teach your children, I am the Lord thy God, and I am one God. Man, we want to teach our children about God. We want to lead them, guide them, instruct them in His way, His character, His attributes, His nature, His word. They belong to Him. And that's what we said last night. They belong to Him, the subject matter. Man, but the strong motivator, our love for God. And in the end, we do what we love. And in the end, the driving force, the driving factor in our lives is love. And then the strategic method, man, it's our heart, and then it moves to our home. It, in your heart, and then teach this in thine house, and then in the end, and put this on the gates, and in the cities, and in the lands where you dwell. But it doesn't move to the lands and the cities and the gates if it is not first in our home. But it doesn't permeate our home if it is not first taking up a place in our own individual heart. So number one, cultivate in your heart a love for God. Number two, here's what we're going to tackle tonight. Communicate in your home the word of God. So cultivate in your heart a love for God, but communicate in your home the word of God. And how many of you, as your children maybe were small or maybe even now are, man, you would pick them up and you would throw them up in the air. And when they throw them up in the air and they just come laughing back down into your hands. And then they would go, do it again. How many of you, your children would do this to you? And you throw them and you catch, do it again. And you throw them up and you catch, do it again. And then eventually you're like, at the breaking point of death. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're like, I can't do it anymore. I'm done, right? Do it again. Do it again. And because of their freeness and spirit and their energy, their joy, what do they want? They want you just to do it over and over and over. Again, my parents' house, this is years ago, with my brothers and I were in the back room, and my Gabriel and Ethan were really little, and we had picked up Gabriel, and my brother and I were throwing him back and forth through the air. And he's just laughing. He's having a good time. And I'd catch him, and he'd go, ah, and I'd throw him to my brother Danny, and yeah. Well, then my little brother Timmy comes in the room, and so we start throwing Gabriel in, you know, this triangle fashion around the back bedroom, and Gabriel's just laughing hysterically. Of course, our arms are wearing out. Man, and then and wandering into the room comes Ethan, and Ethan's holding his hands up. He's, we pick up Ethan, and now the three of us are throwing both of my children in like this rotation triangle like this, and we're just throwing them and catching one and then throwing one and then catching one and then throwing one, and they're having the time, and man, all the while I'm feeling like, man, my arms are, you know, they're getting a little heavy. We've been doing this now for like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, and we're throwing them in this triangle. Man, and Amanda called my name. For 1 second, I threw Gabriel, and I said, okay, just a minute, and I never looked back. And Ethan comes. Man, he hits my upper body, flips right over, right onto his head, lands on his head, no more laughing, no play. Now he's screaming, crying, bloody murder. He's wailing, my head. This is what's wrong with Ethan today. We dropped him, dropped him on his head one too many times as a little child. Man, no more do it again. No more after that. Man, what do the children love? They love. They have this energy. They have this zeal. They have this joy. They have this exuberant spirit of life. Do it again. Do it again. Right? And I love this. G.K. Chesterton says this. Is it possible that every morning God wakes up and says, do it again to the sun? And every evening, do it again to the moon. Is it possible that it is not automatic that he makes every daisy alike, but that he never got tired of making daisies? You see, this kind of frames God in a sense that we don't normally think of God in this exuberant, joy-filled, mercies new every morning. Do it again and do it again and do it again, and communicating his love and communicating his goodness and communicating his joy and his concern, communicating all of this to us over and over again. Man, sometimes we get tired of the do it again. God never gets tired of doing it again and again and again and again. Man, in so many ways, we need to be like those little kids. Do it again, do it again, do it. And that energy, that joy, man, especially as it relates to this part, teach them diligently to thy children. Okay, so three ideas tonight. Three ideas. Number one, if we are going to communicate in our homes the word of God, we must, number one, man, we need a reorientation of our conversation. Man, we need a reorientation of our conversation. Look what he says. Man, when And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We talk about what we are passionate about. Any Laker fans in the room? Any big baller fans? Okay, no, yeah, yeah, okay, okay. Any football fans in the room, right? Any just like money accountant gurus in the room? Dave Ramsey followers, right, right? But we talk about what we are passionate about. Man, sports, football, basketball, the Lakers, man, politics, whatever we are passionate about, whatever moves us, right? Whatever causes the juices to flow, man, we don't have any problem striking up conversation and talking and talking and talking over and over and over how that the Lakers are the real basketball team in Los Angeles.
Sorry, Brent Scott.
But we don't have any problem doing it. Why? Because we are passionate. We are passionate about it. We talk about what we are passionate about. So sometimes when we read this, man, God is not adding anything to our to-do list. He's simply saying, as you are already going through your day, as you are already working your way through the day, not something else to now we got to make sure we do this, now we got to make sure we sit down, now we got to make sure we have this. Man, no, it's not add something else to your list. It's rather, while you are already going through your list, while you are already engaging in life, while you are already talking to your children, while you are already having conversation over dinner, while you are sitting and walking and lying down and getting up and driving in the car and sitting at the dinner table, talk about the things of God, the love of God, the word of God, the grace of God. Man, weave the love of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God into your daily conversation with your children. How many of you sit in your house? Can I just see? Raise your hand by way of testimony, by the showing of hand. Okay, half the crowd sits in their home. No one else sits. How many of you, let's all participate. How many of you sit in your house? Let me see. Okay, guess what? You're halfway to what God is asking us to do. And when you sit in thine house, you're already sitting in your house. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, while you're sitting there, which all of us are already doing, while you are sitting there, while you're eating dinner, while you're on the way home, man, weave into your conversation the love of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God. Weave this into your routine. Man, weave this into your routine. And so instead of just putting the kids to bed, help your children understand why it's good and a gift from God to be able to go to bed. Instead of just eating another dinner, man, help explain. Take 2 minutes and explain to your kids why it's the goodness of God that we're able to sit down at a table like this and eat food like this. Man, weave into your conversation. Man, a reorientation of our conversation. Man, letter B, or number two rather. Man, what is repeated will be completed. What is repeated will be completed. Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 10. Man, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. What's Isaiah saying? Isaiah's saying, man, it's just this consistent, regular, here a little, there a little, stick with it in conversation in the car, in conversation at dinner, in conversation around the family game time, in conversation on the way home from church. Just stick with it a little here, a little there, and this generating of conversation about the love of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the word of God, the things of God, this generated conversation, man, the cumulative effect will have a major, powerful, energetic impact into your family. Man, what is repeated gets completed. No human being, regardless of the age, ever needs to be told something only one time. No parent ever said, only once, pick up your Legos. If I've built it never happens like this. Hey, pick up your Legos. And then, you know, you walk into the other room, and then you come back, and the Legos are, I mean, it's just beautiful arrangement of the Legos nicely put away and picked up. No, it never happens that way. It never happens that way. Here's how the conversation goes, right? Hey, guys, listen, we don't leave our shoes in the middle of the room, okay? So whose shoes are these? Can you take them to your room? And then 10 minutes later, hey, whose shoes are these in the next day? Hey, guys, didn't I tell you yesterday we don't leave shoes in the middle of the room? And then 4 days later, hey, didn't we just have this conversation for the last week? We don't leave shoes. And then it starts getting crazy, and you start going like, well, what are these in the middle of the room? Do these belong in the middle of the room? Any parent been there? Well, Dad, these are shoes. I don't know what they are, okay? Put them where they go, right? Man, sometimes I have to be told something over and over and over. Man, and this is certainly true as it relates, man, with the things of God, the Word of God, the grace of God, the love of God in our family. No one needs to be told something only one time. Hey, here's what I'm trying to drive at. We are already having consistent conversations with our family. We're already telling them things over and over. We're already sitting down and talking. We're already having these moments. And what the writer of Deuteronomy is calling us toward is saying, man, weave into your conversation that you're already having. Weave into this conversation the love of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the Word of God, the commandments, the statutes, the testimonies of God. It's great to talk to your children about picking up their shoes or about their grades or about the state of their bedroom or about sports or about how to best tackle somebody or how to keep their eye on the ball. We're already having consistent, regular conversations. Man, weave into that conversation the things of God, the love of God, the grace of God. What is repeated gets completed. Okay, so how to do this? There are two ways. Letter A, be creative. Be creative. I had a friend of mine who challenged me with doing this with our kids. So we started this a little while ago. We started doing the high of the day and the low of the day. And so we sit at dinner, we start eating, and say, all right, guys, time for the high of the day or the low of the day. What was the best part about your day? What was the worst part about your day, right? And it always starts a little bit weird, you know, like, you know, I had to get out of bed. That was the low of the day. You made me take a shower. That was the low of the day, right? But listen, man, we've done this now long enough that it's not even, I mean, not hardly any real, like, real deep thought. It's just, it kind of flows out. Man, this openness, this sharing, this listening to what your child or wife or husband or brother or sister or mom or dad, what they are saying, what they are communicating. Man, it's giving you a window into their soul. If you ask yes or no questions, guess what? You get yes and no answers. If you ask questions where an acceptable answer is a grunt, all you will get is a grunt. All the ladies in the room, can I get an amen on that one, right? How was your day? Okay. Is that a good one or a bad one? I'm not for sure what that one was. Man, but asking these open-ended, window-peering, conversational questions, man, that give you and give me a snapshot into what our kid, our child, our wife, our husband, to what they're really thinking about, what they're really going through, what they're focusing on. And one of our New Year's resolutions was to spend individual time with our kids. We We do an okay job at spending time with our kids, all four of them, but we really were challenged on this at the end of last year to spend individual quality time with our individual kids. We're hardly ever with one child by themselves, right? We don't get that time a lot. I told Amanda, I said, I really want to make a concerted effort in this year to have just the me and her and Gabriel, me and her and Ethan, me and her and Lena, just by ourselves, that individual quality time. Spend time with your kids one-on-one. Spend time with your children individually. Spend time with your husband or your wife individually. Right? Spend time with them by yourself. Well, it's okay. She can handle the kids. Wrong answer. Okay, wrong answer. She needs time with you. He needs time with you. Man, by yourselves, carve out that time. It's certainly true. You can't do this every week. That's certainly true. But we should be making concerted effort to work individual quality time, one-on-one time, being creative, finding ways. We've never done this. We have a friend of ours that they do the ABCs of praise. So you have to come up with a praise that starts with an A. Well, I praise God because, you know, whatever. A happened, and then B, and then C, and they go all around the table. A, B, the ABCs of praise. And nobody can eat until they get all the way through. But I think by the time you get to LMNOP, you're just giving out stuff. You don't even, we've never done it. Maybe you want to try that. I don't know. Let me know how it works out. Let me know if the food gets cold by the time you're able to. Hey, but here's what I'm saying. Let's be creative and find ways to work into the conversations that we're already having about the goodness and the greatness and the love and the mercy provided in our God. Be creative. Letter B. Be clear. Be clear. Has anyone ever said something that someone else took the wrong way? Any husbands brave enough to testify to that for a second? Okay, no? All right, just making sure. The way it was taken wasn't the way I meant to say it, right? This happens to me regularly. Like I get the emails, well, Pastor, you said in your sermon the other day this, and I'm like, really, I said that? That's not what I meant to say. I'm sorry, you know? It is quite possible, man, that the message we're communicating isn't clear. Adrian Rogers said it this way, the message for our children is a fight for clarity. Have you ever talked to somebody and you're more confused after you talked to them than you were when you started talking to them? Don't point at anybody in the room, by the way. Don't point. We could all point. Don't point, right? Man, listen, the message of Christianity to our children must be a message of clarity. So here's an easy way that this can be implemented. Just can you say back to me what I just told you? Can you? Now before I issue this discipline, why do you think you're getting disciplined? And make them say it back. You can see if they... See if it registers. See if that entire 30-minute lecture got anywhere, right? See if it got through the skull at all. Man, the message of Christianity for our children, man, it is a fight for clarity. Man, make sure we're being clear in what we say. Make sure we're being clear in why we're saying it. Make sure we're being clear in the importance of, the weight of, the significance of this. I love this quote. There is no one size fits all in raising children. And those in the room that maybe either have or have interacted with different kids, maybe even in your junior church or your Sunday school classroom, you'll know this. Man, different things, man, different kids are wired different ways, and different things make kids do different things. It's not one size fits all. I have a kid, if I just look at this child cross-eyed, boom, man, they just start crying. They're just broken. Oh, I'm so sorry, I did everything, I lied, I did it all, right? I'm like, okay, that was easy enough, you know. And I have another child, I could whip till my arm was sore, right? And they would still just be, they'd take after Amanda like that, right? That's the stubbornness on her side of the family, not on mine. Every child is different. Every kid is wired different. By the way, we're all wired different. None of us, no marriage, no relationship, no husband, no wife. I mean, are there things that can be true across relationships? Sure. There are certain principles that all of us can implement in our own individual relationships that can work and be true and be good for us all to do. But every one of us are wired uniquely different. We're having this conversation with Sari and Roger and Devin Neven over lunch on Sunday afternoon. And I said, this may be weird. We're just talking about like different personality types. I said, this may be weird. I said, but Amanda and I, we're like people watchers. So if it's a day off, it's just her and I, sometimes we'll go to the mall, we'll go to Starbucks or Panera Bread, we'll get a coffee, we'll sit down in the outside part of the mall, and we just sit there and we just watch people go by, right? And anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you're a people watcher like that? I just watch them go by, and I'm like, man, they're weird. Like, what were they thinking, you know? Like, I just watch, like, aren't you glad you don't look like that? You know, that says, you know, makes us feel better about ourselves in the end, you know? And they're looking at us and they're going, and Nia and Devin go, we do the same thing, right? We do. And some people would go, what, you could just want to go like just like watch people in the mall? Like, I don't know what it is. That's just, it's rehabilitating for our spirit to be able to do that, right? Man, everybody's wired different. For you, you may need an adventure. For you, you may need, you know, a night out on the town. And it may be the heels and the makeup and the black dress and the fancy. And that may be you. Man, all of us are wired different. And your kids are no different. Man, some need firm, straight. Man, some need this conversational, this engaging with. All. No one size fits all. That's not the way it works. So we must be creative in starting conversations, but we must also be clear in the conversation that we are having. Man, so these kind of generating these conversations, what is repeated, letter two, what is repeated is completed. Number one, man, what is a reorientation in our conversation? Number three, last one, we're done. We will replicate what we celebrate. We will replicate what we celebrate. In fact, this is what the text is striking at. Look down in verse number 10. Okay, so do this. Right? Love God with, cultivate in your heart love for God. Communicate in your home and do so in a way that's clear. And do so in a way that's consistent. Do so in a way that's creative. And it shall be, verse 10, that when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou filledest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget. Did you see what he's saying? He's saying, make sure you put this message on repeat so that way you do not forget how good God has been to you. Make sure you celebrate the message of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's grace, because this is what your children will rehearse. This is what your children will live out. This is what your children will replicate. If all we talk to our kids about is sports or grades or looks or whatever it is, then we are modeling to our children that this is what they should be striving for. As long as the grades are good, then their worth to the family is somehow increased. And I don't think there's any parent in the room that would intentionally say, I want my child to be convinced that his performance in water polo somehow equals his value to me. And yet if all we do is have a conversation with our children about their performance at water polo, and we never convince them and converse with them about the love that God has for them and how unique God has made them and what a blessing they are that God gave them to us, then you know what will be replicated in their life over and over and over and over again. If all we focus on is their performance on the field or their grades in the classroom, their external prettiness, then we are making disciples of prettiness. And we are making disciples of water polo performance. And we are making disciples of education. But we are not making disciples of Christ. To make disciples of Christ, we must message the word of Christ, the love of Christ, the grace of Christ. This is easy. That when we sit down at the dinner table at the restaurant tomorrow with our children, before we dig in, we just go, hold on. Man, how awesome is it that God blessed your mom and me with a job that provided us money so we could sit at a restaurant like this, enjoy freedoms like these, order food like this. Because not everyone in the world gets to go to a restaurant and order food. And we think that. We think everyone goes out to eat and orders food like this, but this is not true. And we can do this because God has been good to us. So before we feast, let us tell God, thank you. You're already having that conversation. Mind your manners. Don't talk with your mouth full. Keep your elbows off the table. Don't throw your green beans at your sister. You're already having the conversation. We're already engaging in that. The conversation needs to be reoriented to the word, the grace, the goodness, the love, the mercy, the blessings from God to us. The author is telling us, talk about God when you sit down. Talk about God when you wake up. Talk about God on your way out. Talk about God on your drive in. Talk about God when you take them to practice. Talk about God when you pick them up from school. Talk about God when you're laying them in their bed. Talk about God when you're playing a game. Talk about God all the time. All the time. A word then. For those in the room that would say, well, this is too late for me. Nothing is too late in Christ. Nothing is too late in Christ. And what you can do is you can pick up a phone and dial a son or a daughter, a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, an aunt, an uncle. And the conversation can just go, I know this is kind of random, but I want you to know that I really love you. And I want you to know that I am so proud of you in this area and in this area and in this area. And at church tonight, we're having family worship services, and the pastor was speaking about how we should communicate this in our family and with our children. And I need to apologize to you because I did not always do that. And I wish I would have. So I need your forgiveness in this area, but also I want to take advantage of from this moment forward to make sure that this is what our relationship is built on. Working Him, His love, His goodness, His mercy, and His grace into our conversations. Nothing is too late with Christ. So cultivate in your heart a love for and communicate in your home the word of. Cultivate in your personal, individual heart a love for God. It's where it begins. And communicate in your home. And including your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter. Including them in the conversation that is taking place in your heart. Okay, so that's the sermon. We got you the spiritual development. This is your exercise. This is your homework. I told you, these are some of the best resources that I think we've probably ever put out as a church. I'm so thankful for Raphael's work in this area. This is what I want you to do. I want you to work through this, husband, wife. And I want you to put yourself, I want you to put yourself on the spot. I want you to give yourself a grade. Man, and ask the tough questions. Answer it honestly. Let your wife check your answers. That's how you'll know if you answered it honestly or not. Man, let's make sure. Man, let's make sure that we're doing our part in communicating this message. Man, let's make sure we take advantage. I love what Brother George told me after the service last night. He said, you know, our Bible study strategy for our children was kind of really simple. We always got to the end of the day, say, hey, you know, 20 minutes and it's bedtime. And then when everybody went and got in bed, that's when we had a Bible story or Bible verse reading or then a prayer time for whatever missionaries. We always did that at the end of the night as a way to kind of, you know, bring the night to a close. And he said, and a lot of times the kids fell asleep while we were praying. So it worked out good, right? Man, what a blessing it was for me to hear him say that. Here's what I'm saying. There's not necessarily a set strategy. The set strategy is the strategy you use. If we're not using anything at all, well, then we're certainly not. And I can't tell you how many times we've started and stopped and started and stopped and started and stopped things in our family. Where we said, well, we're going to try it this way. We're going to try it that way. We're going to read these devotions. We're going to go through this book together. We're going to have these lessons. And we did it. And then we stopped. And we got away from it. And it always went this way. You put your kids in charge of it, and they will never forget it. Okay, before we go to bed, it's your job to remind mom and dad that we got to have devotion. They will not let you forget it. I promise. They have memory like an elephant. Or so they say. Elephants have really good memories. I don't know. We'll find out. Man, let them hold you accountable to it. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you.